Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good a Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got all kinds of stuff. College hoops we didn't get into yesterday. We can hit that today. A couple of Big 12 teams played really good over the weekend with the Sooners and Baylor. Oklahoma State, they've been kind of up and down. I think we probably all have an idea of why, because of what happened right before the season started with the postseason ban. You could understand if there's not as much enthusiasm because there's no carrot at the end. But I'll tell you this, the Big 12 has an interesting conundrum ahead of them, because as of this moment, Oklahoma State can't play in the Big 12 tournament. Here's the question.
So I was wondering about that.
They cannot play right now, but they can kind of bend the rules or change the rules to allow them to play in the conference tournament. Will that be a good choice? Because the Cowboys are certainly potent enough, and if that gives them kind of the motivation of, hey, watch this, we're going to win the Big 12, even though they can't go to the NCAA tournament, how much does that affect or maybe even knock out somebody that might have to face the Cowboys in the early rounds of that tournament that's in kind of that first four in, first four out? So it's an interesting conundrum for the Big 12, I think, and what they're going to do with Oklahoma State as it comes down to the Big 12 tournament. Also, heartbreaker for Houston, but a cool thing came out of that. If you didn't see at the end of that Alabama-Houston game, it was pretty controversial. Kelvin, Kellen, all the boys got pretty riled up wanting a goaltend as the buzzer sounded. And then we started to see pictures filtering out from that yesterday of a guy that was doing things right, even though it was heartbreak city for sure for the Cougars there after the game. I'll tell you what that is. NFL, are the brights too light for Arizona just yet? Second time we've seen them in prime time against one of the better teams in the NFC, and second time we've seen them kind of fall flat in a loss last night. How many teams can you make a real case for the Super Bowl in each conference? Like a real solid case do you think you can make? If you could choose the matchup for the Super Bowl, what would it be? So I think there's one storyline developing that people will jump all over. Five, bottom three in the NFL. There's some big high school hoops games tonight. One particular down south between a couple of undefeated girls teams here in the early season. And then also, have you seen the story about the waitress in Arkansas?
No.
In Bentonville, Arkansas?
No.
She received a $4,400 tip.
My goodness.
It was a big group. They all decided, you know, with the pandemic and everything that's been going on in the service industries, they would leave $100 a piece after their meal in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Wow.
Guess what happened next?
Oh, no.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has radio. It's got Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV, which will be online tonight on Paragon TV anyway, with some games as we lead up to the Christmas break. Skinny on Sports podcast is available, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. So if you miss the show entirely, you can go back and listen that way. Or, that's it. If you go to iTunes, subscribe, and then you're alerted. Hi, Jared.
How are you?
Just fine.
Good Monday. Good Monday night.
Went over. We got to watch a little grade school hoops. For the Sarah and Burns Flat. I walked into the fifth grade girls game right at the end. It was tied at 9. Burns Flat got a free throw to make it 10-9 with like 20 seconds left. Ooh. At that point, both teams turned it over about three times apiece right off the bat.
Yeah.
And so the clock was still at like 11 seconds. Sayre got it 94 feet away. They flung a pass to the down to the half line, one on one down the other end. Almost made the layup to win the game. Got the offensive rebound. Got fouled with like 2 seconds left, and both free throws kind of out. And so Burns Flat won by one.
Heartbreaker.
Fifth grade boys beat up on Burns Flat pretty good. They couldn't make very many. Speaking of layups missed, they couldn't make very many layups, but they were good enough to win. And then, let's see, sixth grade girls, they won as well. And then we left because Wyatt was getting hungry before the sixth grade boys game. So that's what.
Got a concession stand.
That's what. Well, he'd already been there once. Never seen a person eat a Frito chili pie with their fingers until yesterday.
Okay.
Until it got down to, you know, the good part.
Yeah.
And then he went and got a fork, thank goodness.
He's eating it like nachos.
A little bit. That's exactly what he said. Oh, this is like chili cheese nachos, man. I'm like, no, it's not. You've got like four of those you can grab when you can get some chip. And then next thing you know, he's licking his fingers and he decided, you know what, I think probably be a good idea to go get a fork.
Yeah.
So he did. No, it was a good night at Sayre last night for the grade school basketball. Fun to watch. It's always, it's a lot of fun to watch as in how much better they all get as the season rolls along.
Yeah, we experienced that last night at a scrimmage. My oldest kid and her team had a scrimmage against one of the Elk City teams here. It was over here in town. And that was the first thing that stood out to me was, man, what a year make. What a difference a year makes. They were organized, better dribblers, better shooters. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and they get strong enough to catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And they just running the plays that they've been practicing over and over and over and just – watching them set screens and knowing where they had to be, listening to their coaches instead of just like look like a herd of cats out there, you know, they were actually organized. It was very pleasant for me to see that. I was very pleased. Looking forward to league play starting next month in January.
Yeah, there was a bunch of talk. The littler, like third and fourth grade girls, were talking about they had just got their jerseys or their jersey numbers. So that was fun to ask them all, well, what's your number?
Yeah.
What's your number?
Yeah.
And then two of them said the same number. And I'm like, uh-oh, that seems like a problem. One of them was changing numbers as we sat there. So, yeah, that's always a lot of fun.
It is. It is. Fun times.
Okay, so this waitress in Arkansas.
What happened there?
Let me pull
up. It sounds like a great story, but I'm afraid there's a bad ending here. You're scaring me with this.
Yeah, there is a bad ending, Jared. You're right about that.
Oh, no.
Okay, so it was in Bentonville, Arkansas, at a restaurant called, where did it go? Oven and Tap.
Oven and Tap.
Oven and Tap is the name of the restaurant. And so a group, I think it was a real estate company. It was kind of having a Christmas party / dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was 44 of them, actually, to be honest, to be exactly right, 44 of them having the dinner. And then they decided, they all agreed to tip $100 a piece.
Very generous.
Knowing what had been going on in that industry. And so that happens, and of course, I mean, I don't know how that works as far as, oh, actually, I'm watching a video, and they kind of presented it to her.
So it was like cash? Was it?
Yes.
Brought out cash?
Yes. Grant Wise, who was kind of the manager or owner of the real estate company. And so they present her with the $4,400 cash tip. There were two servers, so they were going to split it, obviously, 50-50, $2,200 apiece. And then the shift manager came by and told them, nope, you're putting that in the till to split out amongst all the servers, not just the two that did the job of taking care of that table to the point of earning that $4,400 tip.
Why?
Because it was $4,400. Because the Brandt is the name. Ryan Brandt and another server were the two that did it. And they said that had never happened before in their entire 3.5 years working there. There had never been a time where they had to split tips like this. And so it's clearly because it's so much money. And now the shift manager is either trying to spread the wealth or trying to figure out a way to get some of that his or herself.
Yeah, I'm wondering
and so they,
what waitress is he dating there that didn't get that table?
Yeah, you're wondering. And so the two were told they'd take home 20%, and then the rest would be split evenly amongst everyone else.
Boy, that sounds very communist way, or
exactly what this is. Yeah. I actually hope that Ryan Brandt and the other server were leaning, had been kind of down that road of socialism and communism.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I hope they were. I hope that they thought that was a good idea for America, because they just found out themselves that it's not. And so the Wise guy, Grant Wise, the head of the party that was there,
yeah,
he gets wind of this, and he goes to the manager and says, no.
Good.
Give them that money back.
Good.
And they did. So they gave them the same, they gave them the money back, right? And so they ended up getting, each of them got their $2,200. Problem was for Ryan Brandt, the next day, fired.
Oh.
After 3.5 years working there, fired.
Okay.
So maybe this.
So it sounds like a happy ending to me. The dude was fired. No.
The guy that got the tip got fired.
Who gave the tip?
No, the person that received the tip.
Oh.
Was fired.
Right. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, not the shift manager. Oh, not the one. No.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, heck no. This isn't a happy ending.
Sorry, I got a little twisted
terrible
there.
Ending.
Yeah, a little twisted up.
So
there. Okay.
Yeah, Ryan Brandt is one of the servers. Mm-hmm. Grant Wise was the guy that was throwing the party.
Gotcha.
And Ryan Brandt is the one that gets fired the next day.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that sounds kind of the way they did it in communist Russia.
I mean, I'm getting a text that a certain place does the same thing. Well, that the point is, you know that going in. That's the point. When you go to work at the place that just on the text message here.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. But you know it. This place doesn't, that's not their policy until it's a $4,400 tip. Then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. There's never a policy there. Yeah. Could they sue? I mean, could they?
Well, I mean, they got the money.
Yeah, they did.
At the end of the day. So it got me to thinking, like, okay, is there a way, what would you do? Is there some way? And I think I have come up with it. Because you wouldn't think, like, what we do necessarily would have that possibility, right?
Right.
But there is.
Okay.
There is something that's all, we kind of do the same thing for the same people, yet it's separate. Right?
Right.
And that's doing the games.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's akin to that in a way. You're serving in a certain audience of, you know. And so, like, okay, what happened, Jared, if I'm not going to say any name. It's a Canutian came up to you at the end of the year and said, Jared, you did a hell of a job. Here's $4,400. First off, would you tell anybody? And second off, what would you do then when Gabe said, yeah, great job, Jared. Here's 20%. You got to split it the rest with everybody else. How would you? What would be your thoughts about that?
The very first thing, the first question you asked me, there's probably only one person I'd tell.
Allie.
Yeah. I would probably say, you know, give a heartfelt thank you to that person and then.
Yeah, but what if? Home. Yeah, but it, you know, it's going to get out.
What if it got out?
It's going to get out.
And what if I was forced? Thankfully, I know our leadership would not do that to us.
Are you sure?
No. I would like to think that they wouldn't. But If they did, I would be pretty upset, Aaron. I'd be pretty upset.
And then how about this? What if you did it and then got fired?
Oh, boy. I'd be really upset.
You'd be wanting that money back, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I think the same reaction, kind of like what, you know, the person who gave the money went back, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. I think there'd be a kind of an outcry there.
Oh, I'm sure there would be. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you got me thinking we should be putting tip jars next to us at games.
No. That's not the point, Jared. That is not the point.
No, it's not. No, that's crazy. That's a crazy story. I've been a waiter before. It's hard work. And every dime and penny is very valuable. And that, so hearing that, I was kind of taking it, hearing that story and coming from the angle of when I was waiting tables back in college. And how I worked so hard just to get, because you work for tips basically, right? And you know, doing my best to keep people happy and getting that good tip. And but even a something like that, even if it was a really generous tip, say someone just a table top of four, they drop $100 bill for you. If I was told no, you got to split that. Oh, I'd get steaming mad, man. That would make me really mad.
And I guess I got to think about. If both of them got 20%, then that's 40. So the rest would get 60. So barring there only being two other wait staff, then they would get a higher percentage than everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now if it was 20% between the two of them, now you're getting 10%. Well, my gosh, how many people have to work there before it divvies up less for the people that are getting it for nothing versus you doing the work?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if it's 20 apiece, then those numbers work pretty quickly. You know, once you get to three people or four people, then they divvy up the other 60 and they're below you for not doing anything.
You know who's getting left out in all this?
The
cook
cooks.
Staff. Yeah. They're the one making the food.
Yeah, but as we all know, the truth of it is, and listen, you in the moment, the food could be the best food in the world, but if the service sucks, you're not going to care.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Very true.
You're not going to care if the wait staff is horrible, even though the food is delicious. Now, what you'll do is you'll get pissy in the restaurant, and then when you leave, you'll go, man, that food was good, but golly, I'm never going back there.
Yep.
Or what if do they do takeout?
Yeah.
So we don't have to mess with those people inside there?
Yeah. That certain establishment that was text to us. That's how I feel.
Yeah, you've had a run ins there too.
Yep.
Yeah, here's another one. So it's kind of like getting a bonus from an oil company, and the cheap, you know what's taxing it. Yeah, kind of so.
Yeah,
it's a little bit like that. But I thought that was just a pretty interesting story. That poor Ryan Brandt, after everything she's been through over the course of the pandemic, as trying to be, you know, in a service industry, a waitress gets the waitress tip of a lifetime and gets fired for it. I mean, essentially, she was told you did too good a job. The people that you waited on gave you too much money, and you can't be here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that dude's he's Scrooge, right? He sounds like.
Yeah, I never saw that name in any of these stories. I wonder what that person's name is. Scrooge.
Scrooge?
I guess that's what we'll have to call him.
Grinch?
Scrooge and the Grinch.
Something like that?
Anyway.
Bah, humbug. You're fired.
Watched Elf last night.
Great movie.
Speaking of bah, humbug, Walter Hobbs. Sonny Corleone.
What was the little guy's name?
Michael?
No.
Little brother?
No. The Atticus Finch, or no, that's not right. The author they brought in,
Miles Finch.
Yes, must be an angry elf.
Yeah, he must be a South Pole elf. He said,
"Call me elf one more time."
You're an elf.
Oh boy, great movie. I haven't gotten into the Christmas movies yet.
That was the first one. So let me ask you this: do you like Christmas movies?
Sure, I do. During Christmas time.
Well, it's there.
I mean, it's here. I just
11 days away.
Haven't had really a lot of time. I'm about to. Now basketball's about to wrap up this week. I'll have a lot of nights at home.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. It's become a tradition between me and my wife when the kids go to sleep on Christmas Eve and we're preparing for Santa to come. We pop in Christmas Vacation and enjoy that while we, again, prepare for Christmas to come. I know we probably have kids listening.
Yeah.
You know, preparing for Santa.
Oh, yeah. You got to.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You got to lay out the cookies and milk and
all
that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's become a thing to put, like, carrots out in the yard for the reindeer.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard about this?
I think I've heard about, yeah. We've done the, yeah. We've done, it's like we call it reindeer food, but it's like oatmeal with glitter in it.
Oh, yeah.
We sprinkle that out in the yard. That glitter doesn't really blow away either. It just kind of stays there.
Until you had to mow it up.
Yes.
Bag it. So Christmas,
yeah, Christmas Vacation.
It's one of my favorites.
What is yours? What is your favorite?
It's a Wonderful Life. Number one. Christmas Vacay and Elf are right there together.
Those are good.
They're both good. And then, of course, it's not Christmas without the Christmas classic Die Hard.
I was going to say Die Hard, which begs the question, movies that are happening during Christmas time, but not necessarily about Christmas, are they Christmas movies? You know, Die Hard wasn't necessarily about Christmas. It was about terrorists taking over a tower.
It's the irony. That's the irony.
It just happened right during Christmas. There's a comedy I like. It happens during Christmas with Ryan Reynolds called Just Friends.
Yeah.
Real silly comedy, but it's right there in the middle of Christmas, and he's forced to go home. And it has nothing really to do with Christmas. It's just happened during Christmas.
Does your wife get into the Hallmark Christmas movie thing?
No. Not as much as my mother-in-law does.
My mother is probably watching one right now. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It's funny because every now and then my wife wants to watch one. So we watched one the other day. It had Slater, Mario Lopez.
Okay.
Melissa Joan Hart was in it. And it was about, so Melissa Joan Hart is kind of a loser, according to her parents.
Harsh?
Not really doing much with her life, working at a restaurant in New York, I guess. And she's finally got the big break and has a successful boyfriend, is going to take him home for Christmas, which is a big deal around their house. And right as they're about to leave, he comes in and breaks up with her. She loses her mind and kidnaps Mario Lopez and takes him with her. And hilarity ensues. And, of course, you know what happens.
Oh,
they end up together, even though he was about to propose to another girl. He was in the restaurant to propose to another girl. He got kidnapped. 3 days later, bang, married.
If only that was real. Crazy.
There's a lot of them that are pretty similar to that.
Yeah. There's always there seems like there's a formula.
There is.
To these movies.
They're right. I saw this flitter.
And all of them either have Melissa Joan Hart in it or Candace Bergen in it.
Yeah. Not like, Candace Bergen.
No, Candace. I'm horrible with names.
Cameron. Candace Bure.
What's her name? DJ off of Full House.
Bure.
Bure?
That's her name. She married the hockey guy, Pavel Bure. It's Candace Cameron.
Candace Cameron.
Bure
is
her last name now. Hang on. Let me find this because this is about the way these go.
The formula of the movies?
Yes.
It is.
I saw this on Facebook last week sometime, and I thought, you know what?
You might need to take a break to find it.
That is exactly right.
Any luck?
Oh, it's right here. Hang on just a second. Here it is.
Okay.
Ladies, if you haven't learned by now that the handsome developer that you think is there to buy your family's Christmas lodge just wants to fall in love and run the lodge with you, you're never going to understand.
Oh, very true.
It's akin to that every single time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What's her name from Party of Five? is on a lot of those too. Not Jennifer Love Hewitt, the other one. Lacey Chabert. She's in a bunch of those.
I don't know how we talked about this stuff.
Got high school hoops tonight. Big high school hoops game.
Okay, you mentioned what? What do we got?
Yeah.
Oh, I know now what you're talking about.
Hammond Lady Warriors traveling down to Coach Ellison's Navajo Lady Indians. It's Class B, number 2. Class A, number 9, I think, is what Navajo snuck up to this week.
Where they're at?
His
new rankings are
up. I just looked. Yep, 10-0, Class A, number 9. And what was it, 4 years ago? 2017? Was that the night of fireworks down at Navajo for you?
Oh, yeah.
With Hammond?
Yeah.
That crazy scene,
and
akin
the,
to what
was,
we saw.
It was in the boys' game.
Yeah, akin to what we saw at Blair the other night, a little bit.
Except it wasn't really player involved.
Player, yeah, it's more fans.
It was fans and coaches. One coach.
By the way, update from that. I think one of the fans actually got thrown in jail that night. And deserved every bit of it.
From which?
He had a yellow hat on.
I'll have to go back to the film.
Well, can't find it anymore. I don't know.
Oh, I
don't know if he got far enough.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Thrown in jail, huh?
Yep. I got the lowdown on that from a pretty good source.
I would love to get that. I don't know if you can bring that to air, but I'd love to hear how that went down.
Wildness after the game. Wildness.
Well, I saw something on the social media of stuff happening in the parking lot. A lot of screaming and yelling. I don't think anything violent happened. Just a lot of
yelling and...
And people made a big deal out of... there was some police escort
out
of town.
There was. Clear to granite.
Listen. You're having to have a police escort out of a community? That's not a good look for said community.
I think it's probably safe to say that game won't happen anymore.
No. And if that school is not careful, a lot of schools might say, you know what? We don't want to come to your place.
Yeah, that's true.
We saw what happened when Sayre visited.
That's very, very
we
true.
We don't need the guaranteed win.
Ouch.
Moving on.
I'm anxious to see what happens tonight. As Hammond starts a pretty interesting portion of their schedule. Started 8-0. They've got Navajo, then Hollis to finish out. But then after that, of course, the birth of Frank Teague. Then you look down the schedule further. There's Sealing, which is Class A number 2. Are they hosting the Warrior Classic again? The tournaments aren't on this list I'm looking at, but Lomega normally comes down for that. Are they going to Sealing, or is it Canute going to Sealing?
Tournament?
To the tournament.
Canute's going to that
Canute's
tournament.
So, but you play Sealing, then you get... Oh, I know what it is. It'll be the Bi-County. Those teams will be... you know, you're talking about Merritt. You're talking about Hammond. Arnett, Sealing, all are normally in that tournament. You know, that's a heck of a field for that Bi-County. And so things have started out great. There's no doubt about that for the Lady Warriors. Now we see exactly how good they are. You know, and it does remind me so much of that run, 2018. There it is right there. Where... You kind of weren't sure. Then the birth of Teague happens, and next thing you know, it's like, whoa, this team is really, really, really good. This team has every chance to make it to the state tournament, maybe even win it, and sure enough, it did. So that'll be that's kind of on my radar. You've got a pretty decent rivalry over there with Canute and Arapahoe-Butler tonight.
Yeah, and the trash talking at TTS, I guess, has already begun between my wife and a parent. All in fun. They always do it, but... Yeah, a quick turnaround rematch for these two, on the girls' side anyways, where Canute got the upset in the 5 County, and now they travel to Arapahoe. And, you know, when those two tango, it's always fun. It's always fun. Boys' game could be really good.
Yeah, there's supposed to be Merritt Sweetwater. That's not happening.
Not happening.
So Merritt will play their last game on Friday before the Christmas break happens. That is against, I saw it just earlier, Hinton. So they'll go to Hinton on Friday. But that... Sweetwater Merritt not happening. Also, Clinton Anadarko not happening as well. Saw that on the OSSA rankings website, at least on the girls' side.
Darn.
See if it has the same thing on the boys.
Potential to be a couple good games there. Hopefully that
boys doesn't have that. Doesn't have that notation the way the girls does.
Wonder who I could reach out to get some clarity on that.
Girls says Anadarko at Clinton postponed COVID. On the girls. The boys doesn't have that designation. Now, maybe it's because it just hasn't been updated yet, or maybe it's because they may just play a boys game. Who knows? That happened last year for Elk City.
It's a shame because they were going to, I saw between the games, honor the football team. Like the city was going to officially honor the football team.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's also a shame because those two potential really good games.
Yeah, you're talking about two matchups of ranked teams.
Yes.
Clinton snuck into the girls' rankings last week at 20, or this week at 20. Anadarko is always in the top 10. And then Anadarko, Clinton, both top 20 teams in 4A.
Hopefully they can do they have to play it?
It's a conference game. I don't know where that goes, but it is a conference game. I can find out what's going on.
I would hope if they could get that rescheduled. If both of them are indeed not happening.
No games at Clinton tonight.
Absolutely none.
So there you go.
Well, darn.
Yeah, that's you wondered
I fell into the false security that I thought we were past all this. I guess we're not.
You know, I've had this as a topic in my mind for the last month, and it's one that I keep rehashing, and no one really wants to talk about it. But when are these players like? I mean, you're looking in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. Like Charlotte almost had to forfeit. They might as well have the way they got beat down by Dallas last night, or at least they were getting beat. At what point, as the science becomes more apparent that young, healthy people, it doesn't bother them. At what point are they going to be able to say, okay, sure, I've got it. I'm playing. I'm fine. I don't even know I have it other than some test that I'm not even sure is accurate or not. Just ask LeBron.
Yeah, really?
Where was the uproar about that? LeBron basically did this.
Yeah.
And said, oh, there's something fishy with these tests. Oh, wait a minute. Now mine are negative. Huh, I can play 2 days later. You know? I don't guess it's ever going to happen, but at some point it will.
Yeah,
but
some point, I saw an editorial. I think
enough is enough
in one of the big papers in New York. That the editorial basically said, "We've got to learn to live with this and move on."
Yeah, it was New York Times.
New York Times.
That's how you know. That's how you know how ridiculous it's gotten.
Yeah,
is when they're saying that.
When they're saying it. Yeah. But, I mean, not knocking any administration that's choosing not to play games. We're not out here doing that. But
no,
we're just
I'm not talking about high school. It is what it is. It's not going to – you know, they kind of have to follow the lead of everything that's there with OSSAA and all that.
We're not knocking anybody who's
I'm talking about professional athletes who do this for – that is their job. When in the world are they going to be able to say, you know what, I'm fine, I'm playing. Leave me alone. If I had the flu, you'd let me play, you idiots.
Yeah.
If I had a cold, you'd let me play. I can play with a sprained ankle.
I thought that turning point was coming with the LeBron thing.
It just never...
You know what I mean?
Nothing ever caught. And I'm afraid it's because then you'd have to admit, okay, well, these tests aren't as reliable as we were hoping. Oh. And haven't been. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that's what you're going to have to... That's the step you're going to have to take, is to say... I mean, because even when he first had to sit out for a couple days, it was negative, or a positive... Retest, oh, it's a negative. Then retest, oh, never mind, it's a positive. And then the next day, he clearly had a negative test. That's when he tweets, something fishy going on here. And then the next day, they release, oh, two more negative tests, now he can play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's where, to me, on the professional level, those guys have, it's time for them to be able to make their own decisions.
Right.
Had a great point on the text line. Magic Johnson played with AIDS.
That's true. That's true. This is true.
NFL. Last night. It's the second time we've seen the Arizona Cardinals in that situation of prime time, great opponent at home, mind you. And it's the second time we've seen them fall flat. First, it was Aaron Rodgers with the skeleton crew of guys because of COVID. When he didn't have Devontae, he didn't have Aaron Jones, he didn't have hardly anybody, and he still won that game against Kyler and the Cardinals. Last night, Matthew Stafford played fantastic. The defense of the Cardinals was in Murray's face all night long, and the Rams beat the Cardinals 30-23. And so now Arizona falls down to 10-3, along with the Bucks and the Packers. Dallas and the Rams are right behind there at 9-4. Actually, the Packers are the number one seed, as it were, right now, courtesy of their win over the Cardinals.
Anyway, Dallas can get that Cardinals game flexed down to a primetime game.
Is it not?
Nah, it's at noon.
Oh, darn. You know, it just, you know, everybody's probably yelling at their radios going, Murray threw for 380. He ran for another 65. I mean, yeah, but guess what he didn't do? He didn't score a touchdown. He didn't throw one. He didn't run one in. And he had two picks. And then all of a sudden, the defense for the Cardinals wasn't up to snuff. And the fact of the matter is, the Rams were better last night. And the Packers were better a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, we always kind of view it as a stair step process, especially in the NBA, because you got to win series, and it's hard to go from winning one series to being in the finals, like the Thunder actually did, or got to the Western Conference Finals, but they couldn't get over that hump in 11. Then next thing you know, they're right back and they make the finals at 12. And so you look at Arizona. They're one of those teams that hasn't. Heck, we don't even really know what Kyler Murray will look like as a playoff quarterback, right? I mean, everybody else. I mean, even Dak, the few times he's been there, he's played well. Obviously, Rodgers and Brady, but those teams in the West, we don't know what's Kyler Murray going to look like as a playoff quarterback. What's Matt Stafford going to look like as a playoff quarterback? It's really intriguing, I think, in the NFC because. I feel like outside of maybe Kansas City, the best teams are in the NFC, in the league. And there's a handful of them that you can, to me, make a case to go to the Super Bowl. But they've all, outside of the two bays, Green and Tampa, have some issues.
Yeah, that you bring up good questions about quarterback play in the playoffs. And that is a good question. You know, Stafford, he's on a great team, or a good team. So I think there's a big difference between great and good, but they're on a really good team. He's on a really good team, but did Detroit ever make the playoffs with
him? Yeah, they got beat by Dallas at one time when they probably shouldn't have.
That one time, yeah. So how can he handle a deep playoff run? Can he? Same can be said about, but you know, that's the stuff everybody has to do it the first time, you know. I mean, even Rodgers and Brady, there's questions about them, but you saw how that worked out with Brady.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My point is,
I mean, I'm not eliminating them. I'm just saying, how do we know yet?
Nah, we don't. We just don't. We don't know until they get there. We don't know.
If you could pick the Super Bowl right now, who would you pick? Now, I'm talking about what you want to see.
Entertainment-wise or?
If you could pick the Super Bowl, who would you pick to be in it?
I think we alluded to it in the opener. How about a Tampa Bay, New England?
I think that's where I'm at too.
Super Bowl.
I really do. As much as I want to see the Dallas Cowboys
about
in the
this,
Super Bowl. Because
the question last year was the marriage, was New England so good because of Belichick or Brady? And then everyone leaned, well, then Brady goes and wins with Tampa Bay. He's like, well, it's because of Brady. That's why they're so good. And now look at New England. You know, I think they were so good because they were together, and they are still good apart. And now I'd love – I mean, how many storylines? I mean, how – it would be the biggest – the most watched Super Bowl ever if those two teams are the participants.
Man,
And it would still beg the question, who is better? Was it Brady or was it Belichick?
Wouldn't it be fun to see Brady have to go up against that Belichick defense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Having that time to plan.
And you know, Belichick's like, I know that how this guy ticks.
Of course he does.
I know exactly how this guy ticks because I wound his clock. I'm the one who created this guy.
It's super fascinating to me if that were to be the matchup. I don't know that it just puts a definitive answer on that question that was asked last year when they broke apart of who was the – I think you're right. It's both. And you're seeing that, though, right? I mean, one of the best defensive mastermind performances ever in the Super Bowl was back in Super Bowl, 25, when Belichick and the Giants stifled the K-gun with the Bills. Nobody had done that for a couple of years. And they held them to 19 points. And they did it in a way that was genius. They dared them to run.
Yeah.
And the Bills took the bait. And so it slowed the game down. It ran the clock. And then the Giants get the 11-minute drive at one point there in the second half. And next thing you know, Scott Norwood missed the field goal, and bam. All you remember is that was Belichick. And that was Belichick. As a coordinator. So we've seen him do it before. I mean, think about how he slowed down that Rams offense a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Held him to 3, wasn't it? Or 6? 3 or 6. I think it was 13-3. Yeah, that's the obvious glaring one. Another one that would be pretty cool, just for the – because we didn't get this matchup a couple weeks ago, and we never have seen it. Is Rodgers Mahomes. So that means Green Bay Chiefs.
Yeah.
We haven't got to see those teams played this year, but Rodgers wasn't there. So we've never seen those two on the field together. I mean, that certainly has the opportunity to be crazy.
A long shot, but I think Kansas City and Arizona would be electric offensively.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think Kansas City and anybody, because that's the one thing. Outside of maybe Dallas, because their offense is sputtering a little bit here over the last couple weeks, but they have the skill and they have the potential to heat it up and get going. Those the any of the NFC teams at the top, as far as those five, if you think it's the Rams, the Cardinals, Bucks, Packers, and Cowboys, any of those against the Chiefs has a chance to be an absolute shootout. I mean, you could see that going 35-31 pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Because all those NFC teams really have the ability to score some points. You think it's just the Chiefs? Are we down to just Chiefs? I mean, we talked about Belichick. You know he can think of something pretty good for Mahomes. But do you trust Mac Jones against Pat Mahomes?
Well, it's real more of a question of has the Kansas City defense improved enough to slow down the rookie quarterback?
Gosh, they sure look like it. They've been awesome lately. They got a good test this week, though, against Herbert.
Yes.
Against Herbert and the Chargers. Because here's the thing. We're lauding Kansas City. They lose that game, they may not win the division because the Chargers, and that game's on Thursday, by the way, the Chargers have already beaten the Chiefs, right? They beat them at Arrowhead, week 2.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Week 3, maybe?
That's true. That's a big game for the Chargers.
Yeah, at
big
Chiefs.
Big opportunity.
Week 3. Yeah, so they win that game. Now they're both 9-5,
and Chargers
have the tiebreak.
Yes,
because they beat them twice.
Yes,
yeah, that's an interesting game. There's a bunch of interesting games, bunch of big games, and I tell you another team, not to count out just yet in the AFC, the Indianapolis Colts. Do not count them out yet. We left them for dead on the side of the road. With Carson Wentz throwing left-handed interceptions against the Titans. Don't leave him from dead just yet. That's a good team. A really good team.
Any hope for Cleveland?
They better win this week. Let's get your top two. We'll hit the college hoops tomorrow. Top five in the NFL.
I'll go 5-1. I'm going to sneak the Rams in there at number 5. I was kind of teetering there between Arizona and the Rams, but I'll give them the edge because they won last night. New England at 4. Kansas City 3, and then the Bays, Green Bay 2, Tampa Bay 1. It's good to be in a Bay area for football.
So, yeah, Tampa 1, Green Bay 2.
Kansas City 3.
Kansas City 3, New England 4.
But those two are kind of neck
and
neck.
And the Rams 5.
I let the Rams sneak in there. I mean, right, but listen, number 5 was hard because you got Arizona, you got Dallas. If Dallas would have blown out Washington, I probably would have put
them
in.
They kind of did until they didn't.
Until they didn't, yeah.
I'm going to go with Dallas 5. They're getting healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with... No. I'm going to go with Rams 5. I'm going to go Dallas 4. I'm going to put Kansas... Darn, man. How about Tampa Bay 3?
Oh, okay.
Kansas City 2. And the Pack 1.
Okay.
I really think, though, a lot of those can go anyway.
I know. They can. You're right.
I feel like Arizona, New England, I know Belichick's done it. I'm going to need to see Mac Jones do it.
True.
I like Indianapolis. I like what they're doing. Carson Wentz, though, he's another guy. Yeah, he was on the Philly team that won a Super Bowl. He was hurt.
Yeah, he was on the team, yeah. But he wasn't on the team.
I mean, he was
going
to be the MVP that year.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt, and Nick Foles carried him to the title.
Right.
You know? So we haven't really seen him as a quote-unquote playoff quarterback.
Right.
You know, and none of those teams outside of Ben in the AFC North have done anything in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's been horrible. Baker was pretty good against Pittsburgh last year.
Almost pulled off.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. So, those are interesting. You know, that's an interesting division to me, the North in the AFC, because the team that I think everybody thinks is the best one may not have the quarterback. With Lamar Jackson getting hurt last week.
Right.
And does anybody think Tyler Huntley is going to march, be able to beat Green Bay this week? Even though it's at home. I mean, look at their schedule. The Ravens, they go Packers home, at Bengals, Rams home, Steelers home. It's pretty tough.
That is a very tough stretch.
But everybody else's is too.
Did they determine how long Lamar is out?
I thought I saw Lamar said he's playing this week. Now, who knows how healthy he'll be.
What did the doctor say?
Yeah.
I mean, the player can say everything they want.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes they play anyway. Look at Baker Mayfield. Doctors probably told him a long time ago to quit, and he's still playing.
That's true.
How about the Bengals? They go at Broncos, then they host Ravens, Chiefs, and they finished at the Browns. It's pretty super tough.
Yeah.
Browns go at Pack, or actually they host the Raiders, then at Pack, at Steelers, then that Bengals game at the end. Somebody's going to earn that division.
Absolutely.
And then the Steelers play the Titans at the Chiefs, Browns home at the Ravens. Man, those are four tough ways to finish.
That division right there is going to be fun.
Golly.
And it's so fluid, it's not even set yet.
Compare that madness to, like, let's say Philly's schedule. Philly gets Washington home, Giants home, at Washington, Dallas home. It's like they're not even playing the same league. Washington's isn't very hard either. Depending on what you think about Philly, because they've got two of those. I mean, they're all got division games the rest of the way. In the East, anyway. Philly, Giants. What do the Giants got? I mean, even though they don't matter, but they've got at Bears and sprinkled in between there. So all those East teams in the NFC play each other over and over and over down the stretch here. But... You know, the question was how many teams can you make a legit case for the Super Bowl? I think there's 5 in the NFC, with maybe another possible, depending on how they finish out their season. I think Cowboys, you can make a case they could be a Super Bowl team. I think you can do that with Green Bay. I think you can do it with Tampa Bay. I think you can do it with Arizona. I think you can do it with the Rams. And there's one other that I think you might be able to make a case for if they continue to play the way they have.
In the NFC.
In the NFC. San Francisco,
okay. I kept looking for another team outside the West.
San Fran. I couldn't find them. It's not one.
It's not Minnesota.
No. San Francisco is the one.
San Francisco, I can see that.
They've won 4 of 5. They've got Falcons at Titans, Texans, and then at Rams. I mean, they should be in the playoffs. And they were there 2 years ago. In the AFC, I think that the two that everybody would say would be the Pats and the Chiefs. And honestly, I think the next team that if I try to, I don't know if you can make that case yet, but if I was going to try to make a case for anybody else outside those two, it would come down to either the Colts or the Chargers. This week will tell you a bunch because you know what happens, Jared? The Chargers play the Chiefs and the Colts play the Patriots. So that may either jump them both into that conversation or eliminate them both from that conversation. And it's just the two big dogs and everybody else in the AFC.
Don't forget about the Bills.
Yeah, we'll see.
They seemed lifeless early in that game on Sunday, but then the way they came back, they played like the way they came back to start a game. Not only are they beating Tampa Bay, but they're beating a lot of other teams too.
And don't look now, Jared. You're saying Buffalo. Look who's just a game below them in the standings. My Miami Dolphins. Winners of 5 straight.
Mathematically not eliminated, so.
Not even close.
Not even close.
That's what's amazing. There's only 3 teams that are eliminated. 4. In the whole league.
We have how many? 3 more regular season games?
4.
4 more to go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yep.
Parody, my friend.
Hey, that's I've said that since the very beginning of this season. That's why I love the NFL.
So 28 of 32.
That's awesome.
7 of 8. That's 88% of the teams with 4 weeks to go still have a mathematical chance to make it into the playoffs.
What other big sport can say that?
None.
None.
Absolutely none. None. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.